like a copy of God's Word, Bible, New Testament in its entirety, offered to you here this afternoon in Hanley. Once again, Word of God that is has the supreme ability that nothing else does to impart wisdom to you, the wisdom that is that leads to God's salvation. You know, the message, the real message, the one that the most of you, I think, have forgotten, the message of God's love in sending a Savior into the world that through Him that you might be saved. Christ was born that He might be born anew, that you might be born anew, born again, that is, by the Spirit through the Gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have a copy, New Testament, as I see, it's offered to you. It's a free gift, yours for the taking. Read, do with as you will, but who knows, maybe perhaps as you read it, you'll discover, well, you certainly will discover what you've not known before, but maybe perhaps in the goodness and kindness, sovereign mercy of God, you'll find salvation. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I come to you to declare that Word to you, and of course to offer you the written Word, that this salvation might be yours. Best gift that anybody could receive at this or any other time of the year. The salvation, the free gift of eternal life that is presented to you in the Word of God. These things are written, the Bible says, that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in His name. So, the Word of God, as I say, offered to you quite freely, a gift to you. One man in the Bible, you know, he said this. He said, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. It was the express desire. He never got his desire. He was a wicked, unbelieving man. He said, let me die the death of the righteous. But the Bible tells us, goes on to tell us, he didn't die the death of the righteous. He erred foolishly. He did not believe, and so he was not saved. And he did not die the death of the righteous, but he died in his sin. And of course, this is the thing that Jesus would tell you, were you to read the New Testament for yourself, that if you do not believe that I am He, that is the Savior born to you, Savior born on Christmas Day, the Son of God sent into the world to be the Savior of the world. If you do not believe that I am He, you'll die in your sin, and therefore not die the death of the righteous. Man, you see, may wish to die the death of the righteous, that their end might be like theirs, but wishing it, desiring it, doesn't necessarily bring it about. You know, you gotta make it yours. You gotta believe. You gotta receive the free gift of salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. The Word of God, like I say, check it out for yourself, read and see. Let me die the death of the righteous, he says. Well, I mean, how could you possibly do that if you don't even know what the righteous is, what it means to be righteous? How does a man get righteous with God? Right with God? You right with God, gentlemen?
Waiting to find out.
Are you? Well, you might have to wait a while. To be righteous with God, of course, is by righteousness. Sorry? I am sorry, yes.
whereabouts in Scotland are you from?
Glasgow.
Yeah.
But it matters not where a man comes from, it's where he's going that matters. Uh-huh. Have a good day, sir, and while you go, repent and believe the gospel. So as I say, friends, you can wish to die the death of the righteous like this man, but that won't bring it about. Wishing it, desiring it, even with all your heart, won't bring it about. You got to do something. You got to be not just a hearer of God's word, but a doer of God's word. You got to do what the Bible says. You got to do what God says. You got to do what the Savior, what Jesus Christ says. You got to repent and believe the gospel. You got to be born again. You got to be justified, made right with God. Or else you will not die the death of the righteous, but you will die the death of the wicked. Just like this man. Let me die the death of the righteous, he says. And many, many throughout history, since this man spoke these words, many have gone into a lost eternity, died in their sins, alienated from God and the holiness of God. Without holiness, no man shall see God. You say to me, where is God? I can't see him. Well, maybe that's because of your unholiness. Blessed are the pure in heart, says Jesus, for they shall see God. Maybe it's because of the impurity of your heart that you can't see him. Were you cleansed? Were you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Were you made right with God? Were you made righteous by the grace of God? Then you die the death of the righteous. You know, actually do it, not just simply wish it. Because wishing a thing doesn't bring a thing about. You got to do, you got to obey, you got to do what God tells you, you got to do. But of course, even the wicked know that they're going to die, don't they? I mean, there's not a man, woman here in Hanley Shopping Centre this afternoon that doesn't know that. That's the 100% statistic. Nobody argues with that one. It would be a foolish thing to do that, but it not. Because we're all going to die, we're all going to cock our toes up and go out of this world. And just as you come in, so you go out. Naked you are born and naked you go out. All going to die. The Bible confirms this. It's appointed if a man wants to die, after this comes judgment. So you see, you know you're going to die, but how are you going to die? That's the question. And without the Savior, without Jesus Christ, without the righteousness of God, not your righteousness, yours is like filthy rags, God says, unacceptable to God. So without the righteousness of God, you won't die the death of the righteous. How you die? It's not the fact of death, we all know about that. It's how. How are you going to die? That's the important thing. But this wicked man, he was a false prophet. He said, let me die the death of the righteous. He wished it, he desired it, but he didn't get it, he didn't have it. And you can wish till the cows come home, but that won't get you to die the death of the righteous. So you see, you need, friends, to reflect upon this, you know? In the midst of all the busyness, you know, this all this shopping and stuff, you know, and all this, all that goes on this time of year, you know, the partying, the celebrating, and all the good times, you know, that's okay, but, you know, friends, there's something more serious. There's something more serious, you know. Let me die the death of the righteous. You know, the time's coming, and it might be in your youth, it might be in early adulthood, it might be in middle age, it might be in old age, but it's coming. It's like a train coming down the line, and it might be coming slowly, but it's coming. The day's coming when you're going to die. Let me die the death of the righteous. That ought to be your desire. That ought to be your wish. But you need to do more than simply desire it. Simply wish it, friends. You've got to be absolutely sure that you're right with your Maker, that you're right with God, that that you're righteous. To die the death of the righteous, you must first needs be righteous. And of course, the problem is that we are all of us, as we're naturally born into this world, we are totally and completely unrighteous. That righteousness has to be appropriated. It has to be received. Received, not achieved, not worked for. Try to be better. A lady said to me in Newcastle the other day, trying to be good. I said to her, but it doesn't work. I said, the harder you try, the worse it gets. It's trusting and it's resting in the righteousness of another, apart from yourself, apart from your own. Because yours and mine is shot through, is of no value to God, none whatsoever. Your righteousness is the very best of your deeds, that is. And unacceptable to God. That's without the worst of them. Let me die the death of the righteous, the man says, you know. And you can wish, you can desire this right to your very end. Let me die the death of the righteous. But that's not enough. You know, there will never be any fruit from that desire, from that wish, as long as you're alienated from God. As long as you're alienated from the purity and the holiness of God. You have to be made righteous because you're not righteous. And you can't make yourself righteous. Only God can make you righteous. But he sent his son Jesus. He sent his son into the world, born of a woman. Yes, sir, I can help you. Huh? Any what?
Any scripture would you today?
Oh, yeah, sure. Here you go.
St. Catherine and Dad.
What?
Pray for me.
Sure. There you go. You're welcome, sir. Have a good day, eh? So I see, friends, it's, you know, it's a question of God making you righteous through his son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world for that reason, that purpose. Why God gave you a Savior. A Savior, Christ the Lord, born of the woman, born under the law, that you might be made, that he might be born in you. He was born on Christmas Day, that he might be born in you, that you might be born again, that you might be made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Only God can do that. You must be born again, Jesus says, born of God. Or else, you will not die the death of the righteous. But like this wicked man, you will die the death of the wicked and be lost for all eternity. So what is the character of the righteous? What is the righteous man? Gentleman asked the question. He didn't wait for the answer. Unfortunately, it's a person, it's a man or woman who has been justified by God. Justified by faith, that is. To justify something or someone is to make a thing or person right. It's to make them right. Right with God, that is. Make them righteous before God. And the righteousness of God, you see, has been revealed from heaven. You say, where? I can't see it. Where is it revealed? In the gospel, in the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. He lived that perfectly righteous life that is credited to the man or woman whom God justifies. And God justifies by faith and by faith alone, apart from any works of yours or mine. Because there's nothing that you or I can do to make ourselves right with God. It has to be received, you see, achieved, received. The hand of faith has to be reached out and it has to be received. It's a matter of faith, you see. No one is ever justified. No one is ever made right with God. No one ever is righteous in the eyes of God but by faith in Jesus Christ, not by the works of the law, not by your own works, religious, secular, or otherwise. Only through faith. That's how a person is justified. Unless a person is made right with God, let me die the death of the righteous, he says. And maybe you would echo that desire. Oh yes, that I may desire, or that I may, indeed, that I may die the death of the righteous. That would be wonderful. Well, you can wish it till the cows come home. But it won't happen lest you are justified freely from all things by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son born to you, the child given to you, the gift you see, the real gift of Christmas, the real matter, the real essence of Christmas. Not that which you're about today, not that which you're about in this adulterous and sinful generation in which we find ourselves in these days. Now, friends, your wish may be to die the death of the righteous, but unless you're justified before God, it will not happen, I can assure you. The person who is justified before God, the person who dies the death of the righteous, is a person who has been regenerated by God. Born again is the way Jesus, he puts it. He says, you must be born again. He says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into that kingdom. You must be born again. Can anything good, we ask ourselves, come out of a bishop? Well, there did once upon a time, many years ago, not lately. And he said, this good bishop, he said, that if you're not born again, the day will come when you will wish you'd never been born at all. Dying the death of the wicked instead of the death of the righteous. The experience, you see, of the new birth, being born again, you see, a supernatural act of God. It's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of the will of man. It's not of the wish of man. You see, you can wish that you died the death of the righteous, but you can't wish it and you can't will it. Only God can. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Born of God, born from above, born by the Spirit of God, made a new creature in Jesus Christ, completely and utterly renovated. A heart change, a deep change within. The nature has changed from hating God and hating righteousness to loving God and loving righteousness. But nobody ever in this world, no one ever loved God and loved their neighbor. No one ever got righteous without being regenerated, made new by the power of God, the almighty, miraculous, supernatural power of God. That's what it takes, a miracle. So you may wish to die the death of the righteous, like this wicked man in the Bible, but unless you're born again, unless God regenerates you, unless God makes you new, a new person, a new heart, a new start, a clean beginning all over again, friends, you will not die the death of the righteous, but rather die the death of the wicked, of which there are many. But then, of course, the man who dies the death of the righteous, this person, you see, is a person sanctified by God, separated from the world, the things of the world, separated not just from the world, but to God. A man or woman who's been justified by God, a man or woman who's been born again, regenerated by God, is a man who no longer lives for this world, no longer lives for the things of this world, but lives for God. They've been separated from it, you see. As one man said many years ago, or rather wrote, you know that this world is like a city of destruction, you know? You're living in a city of destruction. It's going to go up in smoke, it's going to go up in flames, it's going to go up in fire by the judgment of God one day. And you need to get out of it. You need to get out of it. You still belong to this world. You're still chained to this world. You're still bound to this world. Is this all that you've got? Is this your desire, your hope? Then you've not been sanctified. You've not been fetched out of the world. And the world's not been fetched out of you, more importantly. The world's still in your heart. You've not been justified. You've not been regenerated. You've not been sanctified by God. So you can wish, like this man, let me die the death of the righteous, but it won't happen. It won't happen. Not unless God takes you out of the world and takes the world out of you. Unless He sanctifies you, justifies you. Unless you're made a new creature in Jesus Christ, born anew. But then, of course, all that leads to a practical obedience. I can tell, you know, anybody with a grain of common sense can tell, really, or a little bit of knowledge of what the Bible says, can tell whether a person's genuinely a Christian or not. You got a lot of people call themselves Christians today, but that doesn't make a person a Christian. You may wish to be one, but that doesn't make you one. You may wish to die the death of the righteous, but that won't make you die the death of the righteous. See, friends, you know, you've got to be changed to such a degree, you know, transformed by the love and grace of God that leads to a life of practical obedience. So you tell me a man or woman's a Christian, and what am I looking for? I'm looking for a man or woman who obeys the word of God, who does what God says. My family, like the family of Jesus, are those who hear the word of God and do it. If you don't do the word of God, if you still get an argument with the Bible, God's creation, God's redemption, you still get arguments with the Bible, or you may not understand it fully, but if you're still arguing against God and against His Word, and you're not living out His Word from the Bible, then you've never been justified, you've never been regenerated, and you've never been sanctified. You're not righteous before God, and you will not die the death of the righteous, but the death of the wicked. Let me die the death of the righteous, says this wicked man, but he never achieved it. He never got there. So you see, the fruit of righteousness, the man, the woman, whom God has made righteous, you see, they're the person who die. They die comfortably. They die, you see, with comfort and consolation. In the presence of God, the immediate presence of God, the dynamic presence of God. He is there, He's their help in every trouble, but even when it comes to dying, the death of the righteous, you see, like John Wesley used to say, in this very neighborhood many years ago. I don't know if he ever preached in Hanley, but he used to preach oftentimes down there in Newcastle. And old John Wesley used to say, our people live well and they die well. Because they die the death of the righteous, but they don't just wish to die the death of the righteous. They get made righteous by God. They get right with God. And when death comes to them, when the grim reaper comes, and he comes to us all, he comes to us all, you may be a king, or you may just be a street preacher, but everybody faces the grim reaper. And when he comes to the believing person, when he comes to the Christian, when he comes to the righteous man or woman, there's no terror. The terror has been removed. Let me die the death of the righteous, the man said. They die in a state of gracious security. Gracious security. It's a given, you see, grace. Everything we get from God, you see, is grace. It's the favour of God. It's undeserved, but it's given. And a gracious security is given to the person dying the death of the righteous, secure in the arms of Jesus. I tell you, there's no safer place to be in all the universe, in all the world. Is it not a dangerous world? I read today in the newspaper of a bunch of people who were attacked by a motor vehicle somewhere in Australia. It doesn't matter where you live, the ends of the earth, the west, the east, the north, the south, danger lurks everywhere. You can be snuffed out in a moment. In a narrow second, your life can be forfeited. But oh friends, you've got no security. You've got none, no security at all in your unrighteous state and condition. But the man, the woman you see who is righteous, being made righteous by God, is a person who is in a state of security at all times. They're ready. They live lightly to the world. The things of this world, they're not chained to them. You know, they don't live for houses and homes. They don't live for the trinkets and baubles, you know, of this world. They live for heaven, they live for God, they live for glory. They're secure, they're at peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding fills and guards and keeps our hearts and minds even in the face of sudden immediate death. Let me die the death of the righteous, you say, like this wicked man of old. But friends, not unless you're made righteous, not unless you make your peace with your Maker, and not unless the peace of God that passes all understanding visits, fills, and guards and keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But then, of course, the saint, the righteous person, the believing man or woman who trusts in Jesus, who trusts in the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the very righteousness of God Himself, that person is a person who dies in triumph. They don't go out of this world like a damp squib, in darkness and dreariness, you know, like many, many unbelieving people. Their deathbed scene, you know, it's not a dark one. It's not solemn, it's joyful. Because they're ready to depart. They have the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith, you see, trusting right to the very end, and even through the valley of the shadow of death, they will fear no evil. Because death is just a shadow to them. Death is just a shadow. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's nothing to harm them. The sting has been removed because they have forgiveness. So what's the sting in death? Why is death so fearful for so many people, even in this day and age? With all the knowledge, all the science, all the technology that you've got, we still all come to this place where we must breathe our last, and it's a terror. It's a terror to the most of you. Why should that be? Because you come to it unforgiven. Unforgiven. Not right with God. Not righteous. Because you know. You know that you're going to meet God. Now you may deny. You may argue. You may fight and squabble. There is no God, you say. But you know differently. You know differently. You will not stand before God in that day and say, "Oh God, what a surprise. I never knew you were. I thought evolution was true." It will not be like that at all. Because you know that God is. He says he has made it plain to you, shown it to you, and you even clearly understand that God is. But you lived your life suppressing the truth of the knowledge of God in your unrighteousness, and now you come to death face to face with God. Now you come to meet your Maker, and you know you're not right with Him. You know that you're faced with a lost eternity. So you see, friends, that's the sting. That's what puts the terror into death, because you know that death is not the end. The righteous judgment of God awaits you if God has not made you righteous. You will not die the death of the righteous, but the tormenting, terrifying death of the wicked. Unless that is, you repent and believe the gospel. Unless that is, you get right with God. That is, unless God makes you righteous by His sovereign grace and mercy. But then, of course, the desire, you may desire it. You may say this afternoon, what a good thing, I never heard the like before. What a good thing, yes, I must die the death of the righteous, you say. I wish for this, I desire this. But that's not enough. That's what this wicked man desired, that he died the death of the righteous. Oh, I wish, I desire it, he says. A personal faith, you see. Not somebody else's faith. Not your husband's, not your wife's, not your siblings. A personal, your very own personal faith in Jesus Christ that works by love, that is, loving God and loving your neighbor. If you don't love God and you don't love your neighbor, you do not have a personal faith in God. Because the Bible clearly says that faith works by love. It changes. It changes the whole of your worldview. It changes everything, including yourself. It makes you right with God. It makes you righteous. And in that state of righteousness, there's a state of love. Love for God and love for your neighbor, which is the fulfillment, which is the outworking of God's law. It's the way that you ought to have been living all your life long, but haven't been. Rather, living as a lawbreaker, a covenant breaker. And why, of course, you need to be saved. Why you're unrighteous and why you need to be made righteous. Right with God, that is, through the Son of God, who loved sinners, who came into the world, who was born on Christmas Day, that He might be born in you, that you might be made a new creature in Him, that you might be made righteous before God, and that you might die the death of the righteous. Not just wish it, but actually die the death of the righteous. So there has to be preparation for your dying, for the day of your death. You celebrate your birthdays, and it's a mystery to me. I do not know why people celebrate birthdays. But what about your death day? Will that be a celebration? Will you be even ready for it? Prepare to meet your Maker? Unless you prepare, unless you get ready, unless you get right with God, unless you get the righteousness of God into your soul, I tell you, you will not be prepared. And friends, death can come in a hurry. Death can come swiftly. It can come swifter than a weaver's shuttle, as the Bible says in one place. It can come stealing upon you in a nanosecond. You don't know the moment. You know, a terrorist, even a tiny, tiny little bug, you know, can come and bite you, and your history, you're gone. Out of this world, unprepared to meet God, unprepared for the glory of heaven, and all you got left is the looking for of the judgment, the awful, fierce, inflexible justice of God. That's all you got left. Unless Jesus Christ, unless you take your unrighteousness, unless you take your sin with all the filth and vomit of your sin, lest you take it all and heap it upon the Son of God. Because that's what he came for. That's why he died on the cross, and that's why his Father turned his back upon him at the cross, forsook his Son. Because he was covered in the filth and the vomit of the sin of the world. So that you and I might not face judgment. So that you and I might not carry the vomit of our sin into eternity, but be freed from it. Have you been freed from your burden of sin? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless and they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because if you're not, you're not prepared. You're not ready to die the death of the righteous. You're still in your wickedness. You're still in your sin. You're still separated from God and from your best goodness. So there must be preparation. And there must be a submission to the will of God. Self-surrender. Surrendering yourself to God's will, whatever that might be. Some people will tell you, I've heard it said, oh, God has a plan for your life. Yes, yes, I don't doubt that for a moment. But I don't necessarily think it's quite what some of these people mean by it. It might be a whole mess of trouble, more trouble than you ever knew before. You might even face martyrdom. That might be the way that you go out this world. But it matters not how you go out the world. It matters not what you die of, whether it's cancer, a holocaust, a terror attack. It doesn't matter what it is that you die of. What matters is the state of your soul when you die. That you die the death of the righteous and not the death of the wicked. So you see, submissive to God's will. But that submission begins, in the first place, it begins submission to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who commands you to repent and believe the gospel. That's where the submission begins. An acknowledgement of your sin, through a conviction of your sin, and a turning from your sin, a renouncing of your sin, and of the world, yourself, your own efforts, your own righteousness. A crying out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am vile. I am unclean. I am filthy, unworthy of the least of your blessings. But have mercy upon me in my unrighteousness, and let me die the death of the righteous. Ah, dear friends, it's solemn. We're not here to sing jingle bells to you. It's a serious business. Christmas is serious business. It's not about sinking gallons of alcohol into your system. It's not about gluttony. It's not about the things of this world. It's about Jesus Christ, who stepped down into this world to save vile, and not the death of the wicked. Yes, it's solemn. It's momentous. And I make no apology for it. Death is referred to as called in the Bible the King of Terrors. And I tell you, so it is. So it is. The toughest and the strongest of you melt with fear and trembling in the face of it. Yeah, and you mockers as well. When death comes, there will be no smart aleck remarks then, young man. So you see, friends, you're going to die the death of the righteous. Your religion won't cut it, friends, either. Being religious doesn't make you righteous. God makes a man righteous, and God alone, through His Son Jesus Christ, born into this world, born of a woman, born under the law, who kept fulfilled all righteousness, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And God in turn made Him sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him in Christ Jesus the Lord. So, there's no escaping, and there's no cure for death. I mean, it's coming. It's coming, and coming soon. So are you ready? Are you prepared? Will you die? Is it well with your soul? I ask you, not what are you having for Christmas? I ask you, not what are you doing for Christmas? I'm asking you, is it well with your soul? Are you right with God? Righteous altogether, not of yourself, but through faith in Christ Jesus the Lord. Because without Him, there's no dying the death of the righteous, none whatsoever. The wicked, for them, death is dark. Death is dreary. Death is just the beginning. Just the beginning of sorrows. You say, what? I've lived all my life in sorrow, and you tell me there's more? Friends, you have not even begun. Not even begun. Your sorrows will then only have just begun. So I ask you, friends, will you die the death of the righteous? Pray to God for mercy, that He justify you, that He sanctify you, and that He regenerate you, make you a new creature in His Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, you'd like to have a copy of God's Word. It's offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. It's a gift. It's a gift, a free gift. Yours for the taking. You'd like to have one, you come and ask for one. Remember the words of Jesus, His command, repent and believe.